Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is a real treat. It's a twofer with two wonderful people. Artist Dale Lewis is here. He is also joined by his fine art representative, Mecca Page. And we're so excited to learn about a new sculpture that he has and some other things. So thank you both for coming in today. How are you?
I'm very good.
I'm doing good there,
Excellent.
Mo. Thank you.
Excellent. Dale, you have always had so many great things going on in your head, and you have a new sculpture, a giraffe.
Yeah, it's an 18-foot tall giraffe.
Oh, boy.
That looks like it came out of Africa, but it also doubles as my crane or cable hoist.
It's a working piece
of
art?
Yeah, I think I could lift 4,000 pounds safely with it. I can use it to set the woolly mammoth on my trailer if I choose to.
What are you talking about? I didn't know that it had a double purpose like
this. Oh, yeah. That's why it's there. You know, a good friend of mine says, well, you know, he was kind of confused, like, because it's a pretty involved project. He says, is it going to get that much use? I said, oh, no, it's totally stupid. But it's cool.
But legitimately, it could be used as a hoist?
Well, that's what it is. That's why I built it for. What I really needed was like some sort of large-scale gantry for hoisting things, you know?
Okay.
But this is my attempt to make it a little more neighborhood-friendly.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So this is in your neighborhood. Of course, you live outside of Vermilion, and it really is a treat. People might say, I have no idea what you're talking about, where this person lives. Yes, you do, because you have all of your works of art. Some are in progress. Some are finished.
Both the giraffe and the woolly mammoth, I just treated like 2 days ago. I treat them with linseed oil, and that gives it a really finished look and seals it up and makes it so you can touch it without turning orange and things like that. Yeah.
You know, you are always a reminder that artists come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And it's just amazing to me to have seen how your art career really has blossomed. Let's talk about you as an artist. You kind of just started dabbling in this.
I thought about growing a ponytail so I look more like an artist.
I think you should. I'm going to buy you a beret. Would you wear a beret if I bought you
probably
one?
Probably not.
Okay, but, never mind. I'm not going to waste my money on you then, Dale Lewis. Forget about it. So let's talk about, though, your budding art career way back in the day. When you were growing up, did you have an interest? Did you have some talents in art that were fleshed out or no?
No. To this day, I can't draw, and there's a lot of things I can't do, but apparently I can stick metal together and make it look like something.
You sure can. But that wasn't your first foray into art. Tell us about it, please. You started out in mosaics,
I really did, and that's because I didn't really have a welder, and I didn't have a plan.
And you dropped a vase or something? Is that how that started? How did it
start? Yeah, it was pretty much ceramic type dishes and stuff I break up, or tiles, you know, and make into mosaics.
And how did that start?
It was because I had time. I'd quit my real job and was doing a side thing with it that involved buying properties and fixing them up. And the 08 real estate market collapse kind of shut me down. So I didn't have a job at all, but I had lots of time. But my wife had a full-time job with health insurance.
Okay.
So I didn't really have to go back to work. That was what I needed. It was not really having to go back, so I didn't.
But how did you think of art? Why didn't you take up fishing or something?
Well, I did some, some fishing. And I did some odd jobs for friends, and I did different things. But for some reason, it seemed like it might be kind of fun to do some mosaics. And then because they don't really hold up well in the freeze-thaw cycle, I decided to buy a welder and give the metal a go. And it just took off quickly. In no time, the pieces grew big enough to start putting them in sculpture walks. And now I got traveling shows. I got a show that's called Scrapasaurs. So it's 14 prehistoric animals, mostly dinosaurs, out in Winchester, Virginia. And it takes 53-foot flatbeds to get the whole show there. It's funny. It looks like the circus came to town. And then some of the drivers really get into it. They go, this is the best load I've ever hauled. You know?
Well, between then and now, though, you had quite the journey. Because you started out making smaller things.
Yeah.
And then...
I was doing some craft fair type stuff, and that's just brutal, you know? It's like you haul all that stuff there and set it up and haul it home again, and that was never really what I wanted to do. Once the pieces got big enough where they were suitable to be accepted into a sculpture walk, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it was. It's
how did you know about a sculpture walk? Had you been looking into it?
No. When you do these things, you notice other people, what they're doing, and I just kind of stumbled into it, and you find out that, well, there are a lot of, like, Eau Claire and Mankato and Mason City, Iowa, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, all these places have sculpture walks, and some of them are pretty big. You know, Sioux Falls brings in, like, 70 sculptures, new ones, every year. So it's a big program, and you just jump on board and then start embracing that. So I did really kind of the sculpture walk thing for 10 years or so. I'm still doing it. I'd have scaled back a lot because it gets so much travel. Road tripping to, you know, pick up and deliver, and you have to hang out for their receptions and stuff like that. It's all good, all fun. You meet great people, but it really does eat up your life. So these traveling shows are kind of my way of freeing up some of that time and make somebody else transport my sculptures. And you know, in the past, these sculpture walks, it's usually a small city trying to draw attention to their downtown, which is, you know, it works. But your sculpture ends up being displayed maybe on a grassy corner of a street, you know, where these traveling shows end up in a beautiful public gardens, or, you know.
Oh, they're the star of the show, you mean.
Yeah. It's just, and that's, there's really no better place to display sculptures than in a really nice public garden.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Well, I know that you couldn't have taken your art to the next level without the wonderful Mecca. So, Mecca, thank you for coming in today and for representing him so well. When you first met Dale, I know you to be a wonderful artist as well. Is that what you kind of bonded over first?
Well, I guess so. I mean, I fell in love with Dale's work from the moment I saw it. And so I had started out being a big buyer of his work. And things evolved, you know, after I shut Breakaway down. I said to Dale, you know, I think that you've got enough pieces to start doing traveling exhibits, and I'd be interested in helping you do that. And that's how that came about. So since
she does everything I don't do, and the only thing I do is stick these things together. Which is amazing when you think about all the trucking and all the customers, you know, everything it's her.
Because back in the olden days, Dale, you would load up your sculptures and drive them yourself.
Right.
And you would install them, and then you would go repeat that process when the display was done. It's a lot of manpower work. So now you're saying you have people. Because of Mecca.
Well, we're trying.
We're still trying to get people. Yeah. But what we do have is finally a shipping company out of Ohio, actually, that does find the drivers and the trailers for us for delivering these bigger shows.
Because what you do is very unique, and I would assume most people wouldn't even know how to transport some of these sculptures.
The transporting is the hardest part of any of this, because of the shipping industry in general and because of insurance and all sorts of things.
Oh.
But we're really excited about the fact that we have found a good company and they've done a good job for us. And right this minute we have, like Dale said, Scrapasaurs at the Museum of Shenandoah Valley. It's been on display since April 1st and the exhibit will come down October 19th. But the exciting news after that is that the Pittsburgh Botanic Gardens has agreed to take Scrapasaurs and lease it for the next season. So they're going to take them in October, store them over the winter so that we don't have to ship them back to Minnesota. And then in early spring of next year, they'll install them in their gardens, which are lovely. So we're real excited about it being on the East Coast for another year. And they're probably going to look at helping us find other public gardens on the East Coast to take advantage of the exhibit being over there and try to get it.
So with a little bit of luck, it may never come back.
Wow.
But I have the sculptures for a second Scrapasaurs traveling show.
Yeah.
So we're working on pulling that together and finding a location for that.
So you have duplicates of all of the...
Not duplicates, really, but a whole other set of Scrapasaurs. I got a woolly mammoth, and it's in my yard right now, but I got a lot of creatures that fit into the prehistoric category.
Yeah.
So there really is a love of the prehistoric animals.
Yeah, I do like making them. I don't know
Well, people clearly love looking at them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so my materials and everything and my personality, it just works out good. If it works, do it, you know?
Well, I don't know that we told you this, but when the Scrapasaurs exhibit opened in April at the Museum of Shenandoah Valley, they had, what was it, the first opening day, they had a sneak preview for their members, and they had over 900 people sign up, and they had to close registration because they had to get extra security guards to be able to be on the grounds to have that many people come through on an opening day.
Wow.
So that broke all their records. And because it's such a family-friendly exhibit, kids love it, adults love it, everyone loves dinosaurs, you know. So it's been a real big draw for them.
So the Scrapasaurus display that is going on right now, how many actual pieces is it, and how big are they?
Well, you know, some of them are quite large, 22 foot long Spinosaurus. A lot of these pieces are 10, 11 feet tall. Most of them are large scale.
Are they transported in one piece?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not small enough to put inside of a box trailer. So they go on a flatbed, and it takes a special low flatbed so that you can stay under the height requirements. And it just looks incredible to have, you know, pterodactyls and a woolly rhino and all this stuff stacked on a trailer going down the highway.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's a lot of fun. So a welding teacher in Winchester, Virginia, took her class on a field trip to the Museum of Shenandoah Valley and had them look at all these sculptures. And then last Friday, Dale and I got on a Zoom call with them in Dale's workshop and were able to have like an hour Zoom call with the class. These are all high school students to answer questions about, you know, how Dale's does his building techniques and to take a look at his workshop. And then we were able to actually walk out into his yard and on his grounds and show them some of the current sculptures that he's been working on. So it was really fun and nice to be able to do that.
And I'm sure it was fun for them.
I think they really enjoyed it.
It seemed like there was pretty good engagement.
Well, this exhibit, if it goes then to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be displayed in what, April?
April, until okay. April through October at the Pittsburgh Botanic Gardens.
So yeah. When they install it, are you going to be there?
I don't know. They seem to have a crew that's pretty comfortable with installing. So unless I get a request to come out there and visit, you know, for, you know, a meet and greet type thing, I may not even have to go out there.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's our goal, really, is for Dale not to have to be the one to do that.
For sure.
You know, I generally do go. I usually do the site visits and then talk with the curator and figure out what piece goes where. And I may or may not do that with these guys. It just depends. Some of these guys have really big installation crews because they do these kinds of things all the time.
Right. Do you find that sculpture walks are becoming more popular? Or this isn't a sculpture walk. What is this called? This is a
traveling exhibit.
A traveling exhibit. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's an association called American Public Gardens Association, and they encourage public gardens to be able to communicate to each other and share resources like exhibits and connections with artists that have sculptures for their gardens and things like that. And we actually found the Pittsburgh Botanic Gardens through that organization.
Okay.
Through an internal kind of posting saying that we had Scrapasaurs available on the East Coast and wondered if anyone was interested, and they answered. We actually had several places on the East Coast.
This isn't our first big show. We had one at Ryman Gardens in Ames, Iowa. Mm-hmm. So it's a show, public gardens associated with the university there. And another show installed for a year at Lewis and Clark Interpretation Center in
Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah. Okay. Again, it's right on the Missouri River, beautiful grounds, and just you know, so we get this is like the third big traveling show we have under our belts.
And because of what your sculptures are made of, they really can withstand the outside and traveling and that type of thing.
I make them tough.
Wow. That is so awesome. What else is going on you want to tell our listeners about, please?
Let's see.
I enjoyed the morning. The Red Hat ladies came out. Like 15 of them came out and gave it for a tour, and they were lots of fun.
And what did you tell them?
They had a lot of good questions. We walked around, you know, so they got to stand beside the woolly mammoth and
take
contemplate what it was made out of.
So what else are you working on now?
Well, you know, I just finished a polar bear driving a snowblower. So it's an antique Montgomery Ward snowblower that my neighbor was going to trash. It was from his dad. And I decided, well, you know, it's kind of cool looking. And, you know, Monkey Ward's doesn't seem all that old, but it is.
It's not
around anymore, you know.
No.
So this is kind of a neat looking snowblower. And then for whatever reason, I thought it would be kind of fun to have a polar bear driving it.
It's like a
6 foot tall polar bear all made out of chrome driving this snowblower. So that's, I just finished that. I'm starting a moose. There isn't much to look at yet, although the antlers are already done. I made a moose rack last fall, and it's been laying in my front yard waiting for a moose to put it on.
So what are you going to do with some of these sculptures?
Well, why, are you shopping?
I am, yeah, shopping.
Everything's for sale, I don't know. One of my dreams would be to have a permanent place where they never have to move or anything, you know.
For sure.
That's a little bit tricky, you know, to make that happen. It almost needs to be a facility that's already existing, maybe, that with some facilities like bathrooms and things like that, possibly, you know. But I have the sculptures. If anybody has a great idea about where we could set up a permanent site.
Yeah, we would love to do that. Yeah. You know, there's the Big Stone Mini Golf and Sculpture Gardens in Minnetrista. Dale has 5 permanent pieces out there.
Seven big ones. He's been a great customer of mine, but he's got like another 4 of them on lease. And he's working, I don't know how things are going on this deal, but he's trying to expand. And just, it's a really nice place to display sculptures also.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you always have so much going on. How exciting. Great to see you both. Thank you.
Good to see you too.
Good information. And Dale, if people would like to learn more about your work, where could they go?
Well, it's really my website, artistdalelewis.com.
Okay.
And there's a lot of information on there. And out on the edge of Hastings here, we got the Benjamin Sculpture Park, Benjamin Lewis Sculpture Park, which is kind of a beautiful property with Harry and Patty Benjamin. And it's just become a full-blown sculpture park, and everybody's welcome to walk around and look at stuff. It's really kind of a storage area for me, you know. That's what, you know, because everything there is for sale and available for, and a lot of the pieces out there are going to be part of this traveling sculpture show, this Scrapasaurus show. And then the other place is our yard. Our yard looks the same way, and we got a lot of sculptures, and I welcome people to stop by. And, you know, my wife and I never really thought this out and realized that our yard was going to become a destination, but it really has, and I embrace that.
Oh, it's awesome. Thank you so much. Artist Dale Lewis and his fine art representative, Mecca Page. We are grateful for their time today. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.